Hi, we're so happy you're here, and we are so excited to tell you about an awesome wedding planning resource that we have created just for you.
In March of 2021, we launched the Big Wedding Planning Masterclass, a digital course designed with you in mind. Any budget, any type of wedding, at any phase of wedding planning.
We spent a year creating this interactive course. It includes unlimited access, all of our templates, spreadsheets, timelines, checklists, and pro tips. Everything is downloadable and customizable, and we walk you through it step by step with video tutorials and screen shares.
We threw it all into this course. There's no way you won't get something out of it. We're so sure, we've included a 30-day money-back guarantee.
We're so excited to share this course with you and to help you plan your wedding our way.
So go to www.thebigweddingplanningmasterclass.com for more information and to sign up and to purchase. The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen. Learn.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez.
And I'm Christy Matthews. Thank you for joining us today, typically our most popular episode of the month. We'll find out if that was the same this month.
I think it will be.
A little later when we look at the logistics, the algorithm.
The algorithm. The audience is just growing and growing and growing, you know. It's fabulous.
Because we already did a You Ask, We Answer sort of. We did one, but we were pulling from that Facebook group instead of from emails. So when I went back to our emails today to pull questions for this one, I was like getting in my head, like trying not to pull questions that are too similar to the ones that we answered just 2 or 3 weeks ago, since that was like a bonus Yawa. But I found some. So I think, you know, these will be different and it's all good content. But I realize that we're getting a little bit less emails with specific questions because I think it's because of the Facebook group that we have.
Oh, because they're all helping each other out.
Yes. And we pop in there and chime in on almost every, or we at least try to catch up and chime in on every post. But it's a plethora of advice and answers and like real world on the ground experience there. So I'm so happy about that because I don't feel like I'm missing or like losing emails. They're going there as well as to our inbox. So it's good. We're able to reach more people, help more people branch out and connect more people and more of you listening. So for those of you in the Facebook group, thank you for being there. And if you're not part of that Facebook group, you should join.
Join you guys. You're going to love it. If you're not on there, get on there. It's so helpful. And you all as a community are all helping each other coming together. It's so cool.
And another cool thing that has happened recently, I think we've had the biggest uptick in patrons.
Oh my God, it's amazing.
And I have been texting you, Michelle, when we get a new patron or two or three in one day and can, you know, text you and be like, it's happening. And we want you all to be patrons and join the fun there. But we wanted to say thank you to all of our newest patrons on patreon.com. It is like, I email all of you and I say thank you as soon as you join. And I say how appreciative we are. But the most important thing is that when I say we could not do this podcast without you, like at this point, that is 100% true. And I totally mean that. Like we cannot continue to grow and produce this podcast without a little bit of money Like, we were running on no money for the first year, and then we started to get sponsors. Yeah. And now that we've done over 150 episodes and, like, the content is, like, publicists are reaching out to us and we're scheduling more, you know, awesome interviews and, like, diving into great topics, and we're trying to stay on top of it all. And we couldn't do it with $0. We just couldn't.
No, we couldn't. It's so important. It's so lovely. And it says so much to us, because you really like us. No, but you really do understand and appreciate and are really getting something out of this podcast, because you wouldn't be helping us out financially if you weren't. I mean, they wouldn't. And so yeah. It's just, it's lovely. And it means that what we're putting out and the whole reason we started doing this, it's actually happening. It's working. And it wasn't to make money, by the way. That's not why we started this podcast. We had voices. We had things to say. We had things to teach people. We knew that people needed it. And we knew that the things that we're saying and that we're bringing to you are not necessarily out there in the wedding industry. So anyway.
Yeah, it's not, please, we're not like, we can't quit our day jobs or no. Wedding planning. But the point is, like, it's not a self-propelling machine. It does take a little bit of money, you know, for the equipment that we have and the time that we're carving out and the editors and the fucking website hosting. I don't know, all that stuff that I don't even know all of it probably, but
all the technical stuff.
It's like money
stuff,
out,
yeah.
Money in, $5 a month. It is $5 to you, and it is sustainability for us.
Yeah, so absolutely.
Thank you. Lydia, Clarissa, Jenny, Corey, Margot, Rianne, Sarah, Anne-Marie, Bethany, Aaliyah, Megan, and Marty. Thank you for joining, and for all of the rest of you. Some of you have been there over a year now. We love you and we appreciate you.
It's incredible. And just so you know, okay, so the last couple of episodes we released, you guys, like the audio to me, and I know you're noticing this, okay, if you're listening all the time, and anybody out there who's in, like, in sound engineering or, you know, in any sort of broadcast media has noticed, the quality has been shitty. Okay. I was irritated. I was bothered. So there's two reasons for that. One is the microphone that we first started recording the podcast with over 2 years ago was one that we found online. We knew nothing about anything and we didn't want to spend an arm and a leg. Okay. We wanted to start this on the cheap. So that was one. Old microphone, cheap, got us by. Second thing is sometimes when we record with certain guests, they are not Mac people. They are not people who have Macs as computers and therefore do not have GarageBand and therefore have PCs. And so we have to use this company online, the easiest thing we could find them for people to just, I send them a link, they go online, they can record with us. But the quality is not there, okay? So sometimes we have to do that. But because of you patrons, I am now recording on a Yeti microphone, people, and it's big and beautiful, and I'm staring at it right now, and I love him already. So hopefully this quality of sound is going to get better, and Christy, it's really easy, so you're probably going to have to get one. But thank you for that, you patrons, because, you know, you paid for this microphone, so thank you.
Well, you're welcome.
Well, you didn't pay for it.
I know, but I felt like you were waiting for a you're welcome.
Oh, okay, thanks. I was. Because there, it's like when I'm teaching yoga, sometimes I forget that I can't really ask that many questions because nobody really wants to answer. I'm like, how's everybody doing?
Yeah, everyone wants to just, like, fade into their yoga mats. I know this because I tried to do that today and I got a prime spot in the back of the class because it's my first time back in a yoga class since March when I had all this weird physical stuff. And I've been, like, sort of looking forward to, sort of dreading today because I knew it was going to be really hard. And I got this spot. I got there early. I want to be out of people's sight lines because I know I might not be able to do everything. And I'm a little sheepish and I'm self-conscious. I've gained some weight, like all the things. I get to this class in this spot that is in the back of the classroom only for the teacher to walk to that spot and say, okay, everyone, we're going to do something different today, and turn around and face the windows. And I was like front and center for the whole class. Like it did not pan out in my favor, but I survived the class, albeit not as gracefully or with as much strength it's as crazy, I had
before. Right? How you can tell. It's crazy. So right now that it's wedding season, thank God for my boss at Equinox, because I've been like every other weekend I'm asking for a sub, and she's so awesome and they're so supportive. Equinox is such a great company to work for, by the way, anybody out there in the fitness industry, like incredible. But I feel it when I go back in and teach. I'm like, oh God, my down dog is like tight right now, or like, you know, my half pigeon is like, my knee is hurting. You can totally feel it, right?
Yeah. Yes, of course. And I was also sweating 100% more than I usually do. And I don't know if it's because I knew everybody's eyes were on my ass or if it was hotter in there. It definitely is hotter outside, but it's not a hot yoga class. And I was like watching like ripples of sweat come down my arms
awesome,
when we were in though. Plank.
That's yeah, we'll awesome, though, because like, you were getting rid of something that your body needed to get rid of. That's all that was. That's good.
I feel like the sweat was like white.
because you there's some toxins there, lady. You haven't been feeling well. You're not well.
What are you saying? Taco Bell has toxins in it?
Yeah.
Does it?
Jeez, you and friggin' Taco Bell. God.
It's not like it's every day.
Could somebody write her an email, please?
Taco Bell, do you want to sponsor the show? Number 9, Crunchwrap Supreme? I'll take it.
Number 9. You know 9 is my lucky number. It's so amazing that you get a number 9 at Taco Bell.
I do it, and I think of you every time.
Great. That's great. That's what I want you to think of me. You know, we're going to read reviews, but I do want to mention we got a 3-star review from one of you out there.
Did
you
see that? I didn't know you were going to mention it. I thought I might.
I'm going to mention it. Okay, I'm going to mention it.
I don't want to err on the side of getting defensive, and that's a note for myself.
I know. Well, don't. You be quiet. You be quiet.
I have opinions about it, though.
I know. Like I said, they're like assholes. Everybody has one. Opinions, that is. And assholes. Anyway, someone does, obviously you still listen to the podcast. I get it, you know, and you
she's not
don't
listening
like
right now.
The quote, excessive amount of inane banter. Actually, apparently one of us said that.
I can't see you using the word inane banter.
Yeah, I don't use that. Inane banter. Yeah, I don't even know what that means. But
I was using it as a reference that like people bitch about it, but we have a right to banter. We can banter if we want to.
Listen, it's for the first 10 minutes. Okay. Yes, we know we do talk, but that is
we
what
are
we
real
do.
People.
We are people. We are friends.
We are not wedding robots. We are not talking about timelines and budgets and boring YouTube tiers.
Yeah, here is how you do it. Here is free information. No banter.
Highlight the word free, underscore free.
Underscore free. And that's fine. That's what we want to do. But you know what? If you want to skip, if you want to hit that 30-second skip, go ahead. Be my guest. That's
she
why
is.
Your podcast
She's hitting
player
it 25
it.
Times.
Yeah.
She or
I appreciate all feedback. I've said this before, and I appreciate that you did 3 stars instead of 1 star. So that makes me think that you're still probably listening, because the value that you get is probably more than, you know, the slight, you know,
annoyance.
I don't know, inconvenience, maybe annoyance that you have to hear us speak to one another, but that's cool. But on the flip side, a lot of you write very positively about our banter, and you enjoy listening to two girlfriends chit-chat with you, because we're talking to you. We're hanging out, peeps.
It could just be one of us doing the podcast. That was like, not that it was our idea together, but when you first started, when you called me to say, like, we should maybe do a podcast, in my head, a podcast about wedding planning would just be like someone reading their notes, like it was a recited blog post. And keep in mind that 60% of your budget will go to reception costs.
Right.
That one of us could do that.
We could read a magazine.
And how would you like that? Well, the answer is you wouldn't like that.
You wouldn't even take the time to listen to the first 10 minutes.
You would know that we are moms. And
oh, God. Here we go.
One of us is very politically active. One of us listens to audiobooks and the other one reads books. You would know. You would know one of us is a yoga teacher and one of us likes Taco Bell. You would know those things about us if you
listened.
You
all know a lot about us already.
One is silver and one is gold. Okay. What? You know, what the best friends rhyme.
No. Am All I right. gold? Can I be
it's
gold?
It's neither here nor there. I prefer you can be gold, gold and All right. I'll be platinum.
Whatever. Anyway, thank you for your, even your constructive criticism. We appreciate it. And
on that note, we'll read three positive reviews.
Let's do it. Okay. Did you do them in order?
I did them in, they're what? In reverse order. So what, you want me to start with the bottom one from July 16th?
Surely, surely.
I will do that. I am, this is 5 stars and it's from Megan Jewell. She went ahead and put first name, last name there. That might be a patron.
Oh.
Okay. I am so glad I stumbled upon this podcast and decided to commit to listening to it all. You two are so down to earth, incredibly loving, and such compassionate people. I am inspired by your knowledge and dedication to helping people learn. You're both a treasure to so many of us. All I ever want to do is wedding plan because I am so passionate about it, and I'm obsessed with all things spreadsheets and planning. Sound familiar? People think I'm crazy for how excited I am about the planning process. So thank goodness I have you guys to hang out with during the day. I literally listen all day at my desk job. I swear I'm working hard. You allow me to burn out some wedding excitement so I can actually ask my friends questions about their lives. Perfect. Thank you for all you do. And I can't wait to keep learning something valuable while being entertained.
Yay!
Love, Megan, the soon-to-be 23-year-old bride.
Oh, she's 23 years young. Look at you, Megan. Thank you. You are a jewel. Get it? See how I did full circle on that?
Yep.
She said Megan Jewel.
Mm-hmm. And she called us treasures, so we're bringing it back.
And gold and silver.
Hey-o. This is why we get paid the big bucks.
All right. Thanks, Megan. Next one, July 22nd by BK26505. Not going to lie, but I have been listening to this podcast for months before getting engaged, and I am so glad I did. Now that I'm finally engaged, I feel more calm and more informed about planning my wedding. Christy and Michelle are both so knowledgeable and absolutely hilarious at times. I recommend this podcast to many newly engaged couples, and all of them love it too. Thank you. Okay.
Very nice.
July 23rd.
Just recommend it to a million other people, and we'll be
just
on
even
top
a
of
thousand,
that.
A hundred.
Okay, July 22nd from Tori. No. Yes,
what is that? No, that's July 23rd.
23rd. That's what I meant. I am so glad I came across this podcast when I started planning my wedding. It has been such a beneficial tool to keep me sane through all the planning. Not only is this podcast jam-packed with amazing advice, tips, and real-life stories, but these two ladies are like your best friends at the same time. They've been my go-to girls. Thank you, Michelle and Christy, for providing me with all this information and helping and being a helping hand along the process. You are both killing it, and please know you are greatly appreciative. Aww. Soon to be bride, Tori.
Oh, Tori. Thank you. Oh, God. Oh, this is awesome. Okay, I'll read one more. 5 stars titled Just Engaged and Wow by Sug Threer. Sugar? Oh, I get it. The three is like an E. All right. I did not realize what all went into weddings until I started listening to this podcast. My best friend and I got engaged within days of each other, and she introduced me to these lovely ladies. They are so personable and easy to listen to. I never wanted to get married or have a family until I met my fiancé. This means no plan, no Pinterest page, no dream dress. All of this was overwhelming. Christy and Michelle break everything down so well and get me excited to begin the wedding planning process. They are organized, kind, and seem to have their fair share of good and bad experiences. They also responded very quickly to an email I sent asking for advice. Thanks, y'all. Hey.
I love
You're
that.
Welcome.
There's a best friend planning situation going
together.
Down.
That's so cool. That's really cool. All right. Thank you all for those lovely reviews and any that have written reviews that maybe we have not read. We appreciate it so very much. And as you know, the more reviews we get, the more exposure we get and the more people will listen. All right.
Okay. jumping in to email number one, titled "Too Much Information?"
First, thank you so much for this podcast. It has been a saving grace for my sometimes overorganized love to have control everything of everything. Used to think our wedding needs to be perfect self.
Get all that?
Get it. I get it. Don't worry. Since listening, I've learned it's not going to be perfect. Good job. What I need to really spend the time planning and what just needs to be tossed into the fuck it bucket. Ha! We borrowed that from Alicia. My fiance and I have been listening over the last year. I have listened to every episode at least once, some twice, and even three times for the episodes that I needed to take even better notes on. That's great. We are pretty much paying and planning for everything ourselves, so every piece of information has been extremely helpful. And don't worry, we have a month of. Good job. We get married on August 3rd, 2019. Oh, that's coming up quick. Mm-hmm. We've been engaged for 2.5 years and started planning with an 18-month countdown. And boy, did it go fast. With our wedding coming up in less than 30 days, we are working on all the last-minute small details. With my fiancé and I being in our late 20s, for me, and his early 30s for him, we have been to a ton of weddings recently. One of my biggest pet peeves when attending a wedding is lack of information, not knowing where to go next or what we should be doing, etc. With this being said, I really wanted our guests to get a ton of information so they don't feel lost or uncomfortable. We will still have a few signs people probably won't read. Have a couple announcements that some people won't hear, but have given our wedding party a bunch of information that they are probably confused about. Haha. But along with all of this, we have decided to have an Instagram just for our wedding and guests. Very Melania of
millennial.
Us.
Millennial. I think oh. She spelled it wrong.
I was like, Melania? Very millennial of us. Okay. I was like, she does that. My matron of honor loves Instagram and has agreed to post our pre-made Instagram posts throughout the lows of the day on our wedding Instagram feed. We have already started to add our guests now, so we do not have to worry about this the day of. I have listed below some of the announcements that my fiance and I feel would be useful, not in any particular order. Do you think this is too much information? And do you think it will be just as confusing for our guests? Do you see something we should add? Do you see an issue that we are not foreseeing? And here's what she's got here. Ceremony starts at 4:15. Cocktail hour is an open bar. Dinner starts at 6. Dress code. No phones during ceremony. Signature drinks. Beer and wine only during reception. Send off at 11 p.m. Games during cocktail hour. Find your table. Save room for cake. Menu. Use our Snapchat filter. Thank you so much for all the information that you two have already supplied us. We will continue to tell everyone we know that is getting married about your podcast. Keep up the great work. Best wishes, S and D.
So my answer was, thanks for listening and writing in. It sounds like you are very on top of things. The Instagram feed idea sounds awesome. Please share some pics with us afterwards with your thoughts about how that process of sharing pics and keeping if you're doing a hashtag or whatever, let us know how that goes and also how it goes with your maid of honor kind of taking that on the wedding day. I'm very curious about that. Okay. So Michelle, I wanted to like side note this, and I wanted to see if you've been hearing this too, because the last few clients that I've worked with for my weddings this year, let's say, all of them have had the same goal when it comes to why they hired me. Like, it's not just like, oh, we want our perfect day. They've been more specific about that. And like a common thread I've been hearing is we've been to a lot of weddings lately and we've been in weddings specifically, like we've been members of the wedding party, and it fucking sucks when nobody knows what they're supposed to be doing. Like at the rehearsal or before the ceremony starts or like when we're supposed to arrive exactly for hair and makeup or who's going first and basically all the things that we would do as a wedding planner, maybe even as a month of planner, They've been to plenty of weddings where that didn't happen and they could feel it like, okay, are we all going to be sitting here? Is it time to get in line for the buffet? Did the DJ just say there's a sparkler exit? Like, just like the basic idea being like, we don't know what's happening next and we don't know what we're supposed to be doing. And that makes for a not as awesome of a wedding to experience either as a guest or as somebody in the wedding party. So when I read this, I get where she's coming from. Like, mm-hmm. you've been to all these weddings. You see it when it doesn't go well or when it's like confusing or when there's too long a pause in between stuff. And they don't want that to happen. So it's mm-hmm. almost like I'm getting hired on that like negative side of things. Like, just make sure this doesn't happen. We don't necessarily care how you do that. But, you know, the flip side being how we would present ourselves as planners, like, of course, we're going to make sure that doesn't happen. That's why you've hired us to make yeah. sure that the day flows well. So it's about timing and flow and communication, as this listener is kind of getting at, is a big part of that. And we've said before that, like, it's not a comfortable feeling when people don't know what's happening next or like what they're supposed to be doing. And Valley and Co. touched on that too. The idea of like, we want to host weddings. That's our goal, is for to make everybody feel like they're welcomed and they are hosted. They are taken care of. They're not questioning like, do we sit now? Is that reserved? What's happening right. next? You know, so announcements or signage or, you know, trying to communicate these things does have a place. So on that note, I answered her by saying that I don't know if you need to make announcements about everything that you listed. That probably would feel like a lot of like, you know, airplane exits over the wings and restrooms in the back. And next we're going to serve cocktails, but it's going to be on your credit card. Don't try to give us cash. All the things that you hear, it's just like, okay, we get it. So signage can help to take care of some of this. Like you can do a sign at the entrance of the wedding with a basic schedule on it. We're seeing a lot of like cute Pinteresty ways to do that. Something that says like ceremony, cocktails, open bar, dinner, cake, send off, and has maybe times, rough times that those are supposed to start or that you're hoping that they all start. And also you have a month of planner. So that planner should be able to help direct the series of micro events. Having the DJ or MC make some announcements when needed, like for the grand entrance or maybe last call or to get everybody's attention for special dances. Also, your officiant can certainly announce at the very top of the ceremony before the processional that you are kindly requesting that guests refrain from using their cell phones. So that's somebody else doing an announcement. That might help. And I also suggest that if you're going to have any signage, that there is signage on the bar during cocktail hour, maybe that says beer and wine will only be served during the reception. So open bar 5 to 6. Also, that signage that's on the bar or near the bar can have your specialty cocktail on it in a cute way. With bar signage, a lot of times clients give me a full menu, like, you know, Three Oak Chardonnay, Kendall Jackson Merlot, like, and the menu is in a frame maybe on the bar. But that's actually kind of redundant because the bartender often puts everything that's offered on the bar or visible, you know.
Yeah.
You know, so that you don't need a sign in front of what is clearly Kendall Jackson Merlot. But you might want a sign that says margaritas if you're doing, you know, a margaritas on the rocks and people can't tell, is that margaritas or is it a Tom Collins or, you know, whatever.
Signage for a specialty cocktail.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And okay, some other things like the dress code and the games, those don't even really need to be mentioned at all because they're obvious on the day of. Remember, sometimes the best way to get the word out ahead of time is to have a wedding website and include that on your invitations, but also to tell your parents, both sets of parents, all the parents, and tell them to pass the information on, like have it kind of trickle down. I totally agree that it is annoying to be at a wedding as a guest and not know what is going on. That issue, though, in my opinion, has less to do with announcements and more to do with general disorganization. The couple doesn't know what happens next. The DJ doesn't have a timeline. No one seems to be in charge. The caterer is running around trying to make things happen. You get the picture. And that is not what's going to happen when you have a good month of planner, which I'm assuming you do. So good luck. Congratulations. You can do this. Anything to add?
I think a lot of that stuff, you have it on your wedding website. I had a client do programs, which nobody does programs anymore, but it was more than just a ceremony program.
Catholics
do programs, yes. But it was more than just a ceremony program. And this wasn't a Catholic ceremony. Mm-hmm. My client, actually Stephanie Lamb, who was on the podcast. She's also, she's an artist. So she created a really cute with their picture and all that stuff on it. And it had, when you opened it up, like not times that things were happening, but like little cute little like logos, you know, like cocktails and, you know, like little information under that and dinner and little information under that. And then, you know, like bullet points of what's going to happen throughout the night. And even like if you have a hard stop at a venue and a last dance has to happen at a certain time, you put that on there. Last dance.
I love last call a super for alcohol. Informative.
I like that a lot. I love your idea of also just maybe instead of doing programs, you want to save some paper, doing a big poster board with order of events. People take pictures of it with their phone. And finally, if you have a good MC, you guys, and it doesn't have to be the DJ. I'm working with listeners, actually. Sabrina is a listener and she's getting married on the 3rd. I was like, is this her? It's not though. And they have a really good friend who's a theater person and he's going to be the MC. And that was Natalie. Natalie. I've got a couple weddings that weekend. They're going to have him as an MC and he's amazing. And we've already chatted on the phone and he's so excited about it. So posting it somewhere on site, having a really great MC, and having your month of coordinator. And, you know, when we're around, when your coordinator is on site on the wedding day, guests are always coming up to us going, hey, what's next? Or do I have time to go to the bathroom? Or, you know, is there blah, blah, blah? You know, we're always answering questions and our assistants as well. So I think you don't want to overkill it. Don't overkill it. It's going to be a lot of unnecessary work for you.
Mm-hmm. And count on your wedding planner.
For she's.
I was thinking when we were answering that we have had a question specifically about programs on our Facebook group recently. Mm-hmm. And she was sort of asking, like, is it something we have to do? Because to me, it seems like a lot of work. And I kind of don't want to because my wedding's in 4 weeks. So I think you just got your answer. You definitely don't have to do a program. But if you're going to, you know, zhuzh it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Don't do it if it stresses you out. Yeah. But signage, like program signage, whether it's, you know, listing out your wedding party and including your wedding hashtag and a little bit of a schedule of events or...
And a love note to your guests.
Yes. So that, I mean, we've seen, I'm going to share it on our story today, but we've seen like Claire from White Ink Calligraphy do some really cool, you know, ceremony signage that doubles as a program. Mm-hmm. So that's always a good option too, because that's something you only have to do one time. And it can be, you can wait until the last minute, as it were, to do that rather than feel like you have to have all the information on a Word doc and you can send it to the printer, blah, blah, blah. So something to think about. I don't like signage all over weddings.
I know.
I never have. It's always kind of been my pet peeve. And just with general decor, too. Sometimes I'll go into like a friend's house and there's just signage everywhere. It's like powder room, pantry, eat, pray, love, dinner time, living room, you know.
You can dance. XOXO alcohol.
It's just like everywhere. And I think like, you know, if it's a cake table with a cake on it, you don't have to have a sign that says
cake.
Like, people get it. So, you know, keep that in mind also. Okay.
All right. Next email.
This one I answered as well if you want to read it. It's a good one. It made me laugh.
Short question that is impossible to answer. All right. Hi there. Thinking about some of my favorite weddings I've attended, some of the best moments have been spontaneous and random things that happened. For example, everyone heading to hotel room for an after party that the bride and groom ended up joining, or a bridal party photo shoot that ended up turning into walking barefoot in a stream in the woods. I want to leave space for some of this spontaneous magic in my wedding. And I also want to plan every single detail down to the minute so I know nothing goes wrong. How do you suggest balancing those two things? And is there anything structurally or setup-wise I can do to encourage people to be creative and spontaneous? Thanks for your thoughts. Love the podcast so much. L.
Hmm. So, great email.
Yeah.
I smiled reading it because you're asking for the impossible. Just kidding, kind of. I don't have a lot of advice on this one, though, but I do love the sentiment. Mm. So, here's what I did email her back. And then I have a thought I can add on to that now that I've heard you read it. I think the way to do this, the best way you can keep room for this is to just not over schedule the day. So try to leave buffer time in your timeline in between all of the micro events and make it clear to your vendors and your planner, if you have one, that you don't want to feel like you're on a minute to minute schedule, and things can be a little bit looser. So have that in place with the people that you've hired, and surround yourself, as you're probably already doing at your wedding, with people you love and have fun people, you know, say yes to experiences, even if they aren't on the timeline. The thing that I know for sure about weddings is that they are only as much fun as the couple getting married. You've heard us say that before. So let people give toasts, even if it's not planned. And if you have an idea on the wedding day, don't talk yourself out of it. And I wouldn't give this advice to every single bride. I would give this to advice to people like you who email specifically about wanting to leave room for some spontaneity. And then I also asked her if she's in the Facebook group. You could pose this question to the group. It's pretty active. And there are hundreds of other people in there that listen to the podcast and are planning their weddings too. And I think this question would resonate with them. And some might have better suggestions as well. And as I was listening to you, Michelle, I thought, I've been to some really good weddings as a guest, and some of the micro events or the things that happen during the wedding feel to a guest to be these like delightful surprises, and they feel spontaneous, but really they were on the plan all along. There's something that the bride and groom or the groom and groom, the couple have come up with and wanted to share or surprise or delight, you know, their guests with in certain ways, or that they've encouraged their friends. Like I've had couples that kind of let their friends bring like drums and you know, that they were just like, hey, if it arises and you want to play, we're down with that. And then it happened, but they weren't as loosey-goosey and spontaneous as it felt to the guests. They were just planned out and executed so well that as a guest, I was like, oh my God, this is amazing.
Yeah.
Snow cones. How right. did they get that snow cone machine here? So, you know, keep that in mind, like putting some plans in place and then seeing where it goes might also bring out some really wonderful moments as well.
I've seen people have more like group participation. You know what I mean? Like asking questions of the guests, you know, having, again, if you have a really cool MC, somebody who's not cheesy, mm-hmm. you know,
like game show kind
or game
of,
show.
Like,
remember that, you woo-hoo! Know, the game where the bride and groom or the groom and groom, bride and ride sit back to back and they have a shoe in one hand. What is yeah. that one?
I think it's just a shoe game where when
you, they raise the shoe, it. Yeah. It, like raise your shoe yeah, if you questions. Blah, 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 blah. And it's funny to watch them,
yeah,
you know.
But there are some DJs who are really good.
Really at, like, good at that.
Interacting with the crowd.
Yeah.
And I, as a planner, I will admit that when it first happens, I'm always a little bit like, what is she doing? She's going off book.
Yeah.
That is not, I didn't sign off on that.
Yeah.
But 9 times out of 10 or 9.5 times out of 10, it's really fun and playful. And people remember that as like, remember when your DJ led us all through a, you know, lip sync competition of
yeah.
Reba McEntire's Fancy or whatever. And it's like, when did that was not on the timeline, but it was delightful.
It was fun. People already remember it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, look at where we are now.
And now it is time to give much, much love to our lovely sponsor, Zola. Zola.com. Z-O-L-A is the sponsor of every Yawa episode pretty much for the last year and a half or more. Zola, the wedding company that will do anything for love, is reinventing the wedding planning and registry experience to make the happiest moment in couples' lives even happier. From engagement to wedding and decorating your first home, Zola is there. Combining compassionate customer service with modern tools and technology, all in the service of love.
Zola takes the stress out of wedding planning with free wedding websites, the easiest wedding registry, affordable invitation suites, and more. Conveniently manage everything online and in one place. Over 90,000 five-star reviews from couples
and
guests.
Oh, man, we don't even have that many.
Our clients, y'all, use Zola.com. Our friends use it, and we hear nothing but good things. Easy to use, great registry options, and lots of beautiful website and invitation templates to choose from.
Are you having a fall wedding? It's time to order your invites and day of paper. They've just added thousands of invite designs, you guys, for every style and color scheme, and their prices are friendly. Wedding paper shouldn't blow your budget, okay?
So, new promotion.
New promotion, peeps. Listen up. Listen.
It has to do with that exact paper order we were talking about. Sign up at zola.com/bigwedding and get 30% off of your invitation and paper order.
Your
invites and paper order.
Did you say 30%?
Sign up at Zola, ZOLA.com/bigwedding and get 30% off your invites and paper order.
Zola.com, you guys, they're amazing. Christy and I have used them. Our clients have used them. So lovely, so easy to use, and very well designed, might I add. Zola, I love your website. Thank you, Zola.
Last question is actually three separate questions.
Oy, boy.
We're doing something we have never done in the history of You Ask, We Answer.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
And we're going to read the question that we do always, but our answer is going to be something that is not read. I got this email. I've been doing more of the emailing lately because Michelle is in the weeds of wedding planning. That means she's very, very busy with her weddings right now. So I'm responding to the emails, and I got this email and was like, I could talk and talk and talk, and I don't feel like typing a novel to this listener. Mm-hmm. So I sent her back a super quick, like, you know, here's a basic answer in case she was waiting for me to give her an answer to make a decision. But I thought these three questions would be better kind of for us to dive into and feel more conversational. Also, you're going to get the insight of both of us here rather than just me, since the questions were so specific. So I think we should answer them one at a time.
All right.
So the first question.
She's so sweet.
Yeah.
First and foremost, your show has been the holy grail of everything wedding I didn't know I needed to know. I can't thank you enough for not only your insight, but also how thorough, detailed, and organized you both are with projecting your message on topics. Mm. You really double as professors in wedding planning. I listen religiously and have a few questions that would love your insight.
Done.
You read number one.
Okay, number one. How far is too far to ask your guests to drive between church and venue? The city my church is in has limited venue options, especially since my fiance and I want a hotel type venue for our reception where our whole guest count can stay on site. Almost 90% of them are from out of town. I love my church that I was baptized in, and I don't want to move the ceremony. Is a 1-hour drive from the church to the reception, which would also be the hotel, too much to ask? What about for the bridal party and the VIPs to go there and back on the day of also?
I think that's too far.
You think that's too far?
Yes.
I think that's too far also. Except for the fact that really helps her out here is that once the guests get to the hotel or get to the reception, they won't be driving away.
I know. I mean, first of all, if 90% of the guests are from out of town, they're going to be provided a shuttle. So they're not all driving themselves.
That I asked also in my email back to her. You have to do a transportation.
Yeah.
So a couple things have to happen here for this to work. You need to be extremely clear about all of this in your invitations and on your wedding website. And I suggest you include a map, like a drawing, because it will help people to visualize, oh shit, this venue is all the way over here and this church is all the way over here. We need to work that in. So you need to be really clear and communicative. You also need to have enough time in between, which she asks in one of her other questions, in between the two, obviously, for guests to do it and not feel rushed and to freshen up or stop at a Taco Bell if they want to, in between, okay? And then the other thing is to consider transportation. And the last hint that I gave was for the wherever you do the portraits, and I know that this is on her other question also, except the actual location of the wedding party portraits or the formals, as they're called, that happen after the ceremony. The location needs to be at either the church or within like a block of the church or the hotel or very, very close. You want to avoid having to make a third stop along the way since it's already such a long drive. Also, you should suggest everyone listen to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast when they're in their cars for over an hour.
Yeah, your favorite episodes. Okay, let me retract, okay? This is what I do. I think out loud, I brain fart, and then I rethink, okay? I do think it's far, and it's a lot. It is a lot. However, we always say, do what's important to you. And if having your wedding and this ceremony in this church is important to you, then you're going to do this. I do have a couple this fall who are, they're not getting married an hour away from the reception spot. However, they are having their ceremony much earlier in the day and doing a gap of, I think, 2 or 3 hours between ceremony and reception. So, you know, that's fine. I think, like Christy said, like give programs with ideas of things to do, have a wedding website. But then just note, you are probably going to pay a lot more for your photographer and videographer because it's going to be more than, you know, maybe a 6 or an 8 hour package. I mean, possibly more than a 10 hour package because you're going to be getting ready. You're going to have those getting ready shots. Your photographer is not going to say, oh, I'll just, you know, not charge you for 2 hours.
Those
they're not
3 hours.
Do that.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. So just keep that in the back of your head. You're going to be paying more money for your photographer. You're going to be paying more money for your videographer if you have one. And you know we are in strong encouragement of having a videographer. And, you know, you're going to be spending money on transportation, even though you should do this anyway, because 90% of your guests are from out of town. So it's doable. You can do it. I would just definitely make sure there's a nice gap between ceremony and reception, not just an hour and a half. I put a bigger gap. And, you know, because that's the other thing is you're only going to have probably a 6 hour block of time at your reception venue. And so you want to make sure you get the most out of that, right?
Yes. And your wedding party and your VIPs, they shouldn't have to make that drive any more than a regular guest would.
No.
They'll just have slightly different timelines. And I suggest you get a separate shuttle or, you know, smaller limo, whatever, transportation for the bridal party and wedding party and VIPs separately from the guest so that they can get there early, stay for photos. And also that will be, you know, fun for you guys also.
Also, what is the age group? Because I'm going to tell you one more thing here. If you're in your 20s, even your early 30s, and most of your guests are in your age group, they're probably going to take some time in that gap and go have some food and drinks. And then you might get people being late. So just be careful. But again, well, if you have a shuttle for them and they're using it, they'll know what time to get on and all that good stuff. But
and with the reception being at a hotel, hopefully everybody just goes to that hotel.
Yeah.
Hangs out there, drinks there if they're going to, and is, you know, it's all in one place. That is definitely working in your favor for this.
Maybe they'll go change. They'll go to their room and have and they'll rest. Maybe you'll have, Christy, what was that? Was that you that you had, those gift bags with like at the church? Where was it? That they had like granola bars
snacks. I was going to mention that. They just had baskets as people were leaving the church because everyone knew there was a almost 4 hour gap in that one.
Yeah.
So everyone grabbed those and I was shocked by how many, there was zero left.
You should have them like make little bags and have the bus driver, the shuttle driver, like hand them to guests as they get on the bus. Here's your little goodie bag for your 1 hour ride. Also get a bus that has a bathroom on it. There's the big coach buses that have restrooms. It's an hour ride is a long ride.
Michelle has an unusually small bladder.
I drink a lot of water, okay? and I've had two kids. So, but yes, I think it can be done. And I think, but you have to put it more into this than your average wedding.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so do it and get back to us. Thanks. Love you. Next question she asked was, I heard a bit about how you explained each dress code when we talked about like formal, black tie.
Yeah.
We did like garden apparel,
cocktail dress, full length.
She's asking, but how do you best match your dress code and vision to your venue? I.e., we want a very formal, elegant party, but our favorite venue is a country club thus far in the area. Like, I think that's an example. Mm. Is that, well, maybe. Okay, but our favorite venue is a country club in the area. Too formal, question mark? How do we dress up the venue to match our vision? This confused me a little bit because I think like a formal, elegant party. We want a formal, elegant party. I wonder if she meant to say we don't want a very formal, elegant. No, she wants it. Okay, we want a formal, elegant party.
Yeah.
So,
but our favorite
a country club lends itself to formal and elegant.
Yeah, most of them do.
Yeah, and hotel ballrooms, too, can be dressed up pretty easily because that's what they're made for. They're a blank slate. So how do we dress up the venue to match our vision? This is probably not that applicable of advice, but the best case scenario is that you get a venue that already matches your vision so you don't have to dress it up much. I mean, I've done a lot with pipe and drape. Not like over my career, but in certain weddings, the pipe and drape has gone a long way, like a lot in terms of the impact, like a small boardroom at a hotel. You know how there's like little rooms at hotels that are not the ballrooms, but they're pretty small and plain. They're for like meetings. Airwalls.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it was just a small room with like, it would have had maybe 20 people could have a meeting in there with a big table. But that's where I had a ceremony take place. And we draped the entire room with white drapery. And then, you know, had a little staging for the altar for the ceremony. But it went a long way. Like it worked. Those photos of that wedding, you have no idea it's in what is essentially a boardroom. So you can do a lot. It's going to depend a lot on budget, but lighting, pipe and drape, and rentals that are like floor up are going to have a big impact.
Yeah,
this on is, transforming a space.
This is not a wedding on a budget, by the way. This is not a lower, you know, like tight budget wedding. You're talking about an hour ride. You need transportation. And also I would recommend having it, you know, this reception be evening time if you want it formal. I don't know where the wedding is. It could be somewhere where most people are used to dressing up, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a cultural wedding either. But I agree with Christy. If the country club is not a fancy pants country club and you're getting a very basic room, yes. You're going to do lighting, you're going to do pipe and drape, you're going to rent furniture, specialty linens, you know, all the
fancy
bells and whistles,
floor.
Fancy dance floor. You can get a nice, you know, white covered dance floor with your gobo light on it. You know, beautiful china, flatware. I mean, florals, you can really, really dress it up, but you're going to go big and your budget's going to be big.
And there's ways to do elegant that is not formal. So like elegant, It's the word formal here that is leading us down this
black
path.
Like, that says black tie and
so
full length gowns.
If that's what you want, if you want a very formal, elegant party, you're going to spend some money.
And you're going to put that on your invite too. You're going to put black tie, right?
Yes, I think so. And knowing that this is with the ceremony being potentially many hours earlier in the day and that drive time, my husband and I, if he's in a tux and I'm in some floor length, we wouldn't necessarily want to be in a car for, over an hour or a bus. So maybe if you have your reception later in the evening, like a, late night reception, if you can swing that, people might change in between.
And encourage that in all of your, correspondence to them. Change into your, formal wear for the reception.
Yeah. Okay. The last question is, what is your take on, quote, lag time between the ceremony finishing and the reception starting, which we touched on, but she's specifically asking, do couples build in an extra hour during this lag time to take pictures because they want to attend their cocktail hour? My parents think attending your own cocktail hour is crazy talk, but I don't want to miss the party.
Then don't miss it. I think an hour, what photos are you doing? That's a lot of photos. An hour is a long time for photos.
Try to get, as we suggest often, try to get as many photos as possible done before the ceremony.
But it sounds even like they're traditional, Christy.
Yes, I was going to say, even if you're not seeing each other, still get all those pictures with you and your bridesmaids and him and his groomsmen and as many of
with
the wedding
parents,
party as you can.
Family.
Parents, flower girls. Just get as many as you can done, because if it is super traditional and you're not having a first look, then an hour after the ceremony, I think photos might take an hour. If it includes formals at the altar, and then on top of that, you're going to some third location for, wedding party pictures outside with a view or, whatever. So the best way to organize this is to make a shot list and keep in mind the amount of time it's going to take for every one of those shots. Your photographer needs that shot list for post-wedding formals. Absolutely.
Absolutely. All right. I think that's it. And I do think you should join cocktail reception. You've got time. Build it into the schedule. And encourage people to go change. I think that sounds fun. Honestly, if it was me and I got that invite and it's like, hey, we're having the ceremony at this time. This is when the shuttle's picking up. Feel free to dress in, daytime wear and, and then go back to the hotel and change into something really, really fun for the evening. And, like if you put it in that way. And here's what time the reception starts.
Yeah, we'll see you at 7.
Yeah, because then I get to go back to the hotel with my kids. I can relax. I can drink water. I can watch Netflix. I can take a nap.
Have sex with your husband in the shower.
Exactly. Hotel sex. It's always great. And you're going to be too tired after the wedding. So, do it all. Do it all. Send the kids to the pool. No kids. You go to the pool. I like the sex. That's good. All right.
That's a good suggestion. Okay. Sometimes I know what I'm talking about.
Once in a while.
Okay, great.
All right. Let's round this one out.
Run down the outro. Please subscribe on iTunes, rate and review us. We love that, but also it helps more people listen to the podcast because we get higher on the Apple, iTunes, whatever secret formula that they have. We are on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. On Facebook, we also have a private group, community, TBWPP. Look that up on Facebook and Twitter. Instagram is at the Big Wedding Planning Podcast. We use hashtag plan that wedding. And please, if you want to share photos of your engagement sessions or proposals or wedding planning or wedding days, just DM us, credit your photographer. We would love to share those. I think I misspoke when I said the Twitter handle. It's TBWP Podcast. Our website is thebigweddingplanningpodcast.com. On that website, we have a search engine so you can look for topics that we've done episodes on. And we also include show notes with links on every episode. And for our Yawa episodes, we just include the questions and answers, like cut and pasted, lots of info. Email is the best way to get in touch with us. email us at thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com. We mentioned Patreon. Hit us up there. We love that. And also we offer consulting. And that is 2 hours with either one of us. And we're Skyping or we're FaceTiming or we're on a phone call with you going over all of your wedding planning questions. And we would love to get some of those on the books. And we have a phone number if none of these ways work for you.
415-723-1625. Thank you all so much for listening. We love and appreciate you. Happy planning. We hope you make it alive through this wedding season. I know I'm trying to.
You can do it.
Woohoo! Christy, love you, show.
Bye.
Bye.